Been shielding for a number of months, and I know this is a bit of a freedom weekend for you, so perhaps if you felt unable to come out for the first time, you're very, very welcome. We have a few normal announcements just to get through before we get into a time of praise, and so bear with me as we work our way through these. Just the normal ones that pertain to the drive-in here, which are please remain in your cars at all times. Feel free to put all of your windows down if that helps your sound any better. As well, whenever you're leaving, if you could please stay just at the 5 mile an hour speed limit. Follow all the directions that the marshals will be giving you, and at the end, we will be exiting in an orderly manner as usual, so please do not leave and start driving until a steward waves you forward. We'll probably be starting in the front row here as well, and so just to make you aware of that as we get through. If you need any assistance on anything during the service, some of the stewards will be around. Just call them over during the service if you do need any help. Some announcements for the incoming week as well. Maybe I should start as well with congratulations again to the new Mr. and Mrs. Trevor and Judith Gervin as well. We trust that the first day into your married life has been going well, and we trust just every blessing to you for this new chapter in your lives and your marriage. So congratulations to you. We want to as well encourage folks to be praying for the pastor as he would be taking a mission up the country this week every evening, and so he's asked just that we'd be remembering him in prayer and asking that the Lord would really bless and move and see souls come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. This Wednesday, if you were listening online this morning, you'll have heard the exciting news that we're hoping to have an indoor meeting for the first time in 4 months. It's on Wednesday evening. It's at 7:30 in the church hall. It'll be a short prayer meeting. And so, again, just to run through some of the necessary announcements to make you aware of how that will be held. We will open the fire doors that are beside the piano in the main hall at 7:15. And so if you can just come as close as you can around 7:15 or even a little bit after. We have seats preset out, and so we'll lead you in. You'll take your seats. We'll be maintaining social distancing within our meeting. The toilets will be accessible if you need to. To make you aware of that. As well, we said this morning that we want to follow the government advice to strongly recommend that if you are able to, if you could come wearing a face mask. And I know that that's one of the hot topics for discussion. But regardless of your personal opinion, we would ask that you would wear one out of love and protection for others in our church family. Wear it so that the people sitting near you are perhaps more at ease, and wear one so that the risk of an outbreak that would impact our own church family would be more minimized. And so please just be aware that if you wanted to come, there may be people who are not wearing masks, and if that would be an issue for you, we just wanted to make you aware of that as well. And so I think that's all of the announcements for that. As well, just if you are unwell with any kind of symptoms, we would really encourage you just to stay at home on that given day. A lot of the times that we've responded, maybe in a church service, to somebody who's taken unwell, usually the first thing that's said is, well, I was feeling unwell, but I came anyway. We would just ask maybe if you would rest until you're feeling better and are able to join us on Wednesday evenings. Next Sunday, our speaker in the morning time is myself. We'll be continuing on in 1 Timothy. So if you'd like to read some of the passages beforehand, we'll be at the end of 1 Timothy 1 and looking into 1 Timothy 2. Our evening service at 5 p.m., the speaker is... Oh, I've lost my place. Where are we? There'll be a speaker next Sunday evening. His name may well come back to me soon, as I haven't written it down in front of me here. If the weather permits, we'll be here again at 5 p.m. If the weather does not permit, unfortunately, you'll have to just watch the live webcast from your home, or maybe that's just what you're able to do anyway. But 5 p.m. next Sunday evening, and that is our plan. So I think that is all the announcements. Kenny Johnson, I do have his name. The Reverend Kenny Johnson will be joining us next Sunday evening. Excellent. Glad I've got that one out of the way. And so, again, just encourage you to be tuning in next week. It's great tonight to have some of our younger musicians and someone to lead as well. So we're glad to have Philip Campbell and Alfie Davies here to lead us in praise and worship. Before we do get into praise, let's commit ourselves to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful, Lord, to be able to gather in a means and in a fashion, Lord, that enables us to be in one place, and for those as well watching online at home, we thank you, Father, that we do indeed have the provision still to sing, still to come under your word, still to pray to you now. Father, we want to seek your blessing, Lord, because we remind ourselves that your church is your responsibility. Father, your church and the building of it and the proclamation of your great name, Lord, that is done by your power, by your might, according to your plan. And Father, we want to ask that for all of the services across the world, Father, gathered in the name of Jesus Christ on this day, Lord, that you would be so strongly in the midst, building up your people, edifying us, strengthening us, nourishing us, encouraging us, shaping and changing us, Father. We do ask, Lord, that hearts would be receptive, that ears would be, Father, eager to hear, that eyes would be opened as well, Father, to the glory and splendor and majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, we ask, Lord, just for your felt presence in our midst. Thank you, Lord, that you've promised your presence. Help us just to be expectant and to be aware, Lord, of just worship that is indeed connected to our heart and not just our voice and our mind. So, Father, we ask that you'd undertake for us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is great just to hand over to Philip now, who will lead us in a praise time. Thank you very much, Philip.
Thanks, Andrew. It's great to see you all, in a manner of speaking, whether you're here in the car park with us, whether you're looking in online in your home or somewhere else, you're very, very welcome, and do hope that you'll feel free to join with us in worship and let your heart lift praise to the Lord. Even though others may not be listening in, the Lord is. So let's give him praise today. If you have a little song book and you're following words there, you'll find our first song as number 8. Number 8 in the song book, Majesty. Worship his majesty unto Jesus. Be glory, honor, and praise. And make sure that this is worship fit for a king. Sing together. Majesty. Worship his majesty. On a similar thing, number 30, King of Kings, Majesty, God of Heaven, living in me. This is one of those songs that reminds us of the names and titles of our Lord Jesus. Well worth meditating on and well worth singing about. So let me say once again, don't just sing, make sure you worship. King of Kings, Majesty, number 30. King of Kings, Majesty, God of Heaven, living in me, gentle Savior. strong deliverer, beginning and end. All within me falls at your throne, your majesty. I can but bow, I lay my all before you now. In royal robes I don't deserve, I live to serve your majesty. Earth and heaven worship you. Love eternal, faithful and true, who bought the nations, ransomed souls, brought this sinner near to your throne. All within me cries out in praise, your majesty. I can but bow, I lay my all before you now. In royal robes I don't deserve, I live to serve your your majesty. I can but bow, I lay my all before you now. In royal robes I don't deserve, I live to serve your majesty. The next song that we're going to do is quite a well-known one. I don't know if you know the story behind how it came to be written. But I understand that Keith and Melody Green were in London and they were in a restaurant having a meal. And some words began to come into Melody's mind and heart. So she took the paper napkin and scribbled these words out. And she had two verses and then Keith added a third. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. And the last verse, of course, says, when I stand in glory, I will see his face. Keith Green wrote those words, not realizing that it was to be only a matter of a few years before he would be standing before the King. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. Number 16 in the songbook. We'll sing this one all the way through and then hand back to Andrew.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Jesus, my in that holy place.
Thank you very much to Philip and to Alfie for leading us in that. Anyone else feel the chill in the air? If the rain comes on, don't worry. We'll still keep going, hopefully, if it stays light. But if you need to put your windows up, hopefully we'll still be loud enough that you can hear us as well. So just as well to make you aware, the pastor is taking some much-needed time off. And so see in the next 2 or 3 weeks if you have any pastoral needs. Would you get in touch with some of the deacons? In that time, I'll be off for a little bit of time as well. And so just please keep that in mind. I'm sure his phone and stuff will still be on. But please, if you would just direct any of your needs towards some of the deacons, that would be great, please. If you have a passage, if you've a portion of God's Word with you, we're going to be reading from John chapter 9 as we get into God's Word for this evening. And so the title of the message for tonight is, What Do You Say About Jesus? What do you say about Jesus? Divided opinions. It seems to be really increasingly prominent in these times that is just such a prominent feature. We saw it with Brexit. We usually see it with politics. We see it now with the government's response with what should be done or when it should be done. It's nothing really new to us. But split opinions, or actually the ability to have an opinion, is really not a bad thing. It's actually rooted in the characteristics of how God designed us, because floating around somewhere in here, each of us has a brain. Yep, some might be bigger than others, you might say. Somewhere knocking around inside of each of us is the ability and the capacity to think, the freedom to investigate, to weigh up, to make decisions. God created us with an intellect, a will, that ability to decide. And so we have not been made as clones. We have not been made as robots. We have a freedom to make our own decisions. Let me add that our decisions oftentimes have consequences for ourselves or for others around us. It can impact other people. So, of course, there are some things that have always split opinions. I've already mentioned some, like politics, the debate whether or not man and woman do actually come from the same planet. That debate probably will rage on for a long time to come. No comment from me on that one. Or the age-old, really important debate. Do you put pineapple on a pizza? I'm happy enough to say I'm pro-pineapple. I'm happy for you to come to your own decision on that one. If you've never put pineapple on a pizza, it might be a game-changer for you. There are some things that matter. You can have an opinion, and we can agree, well, okay, that's your take on it. But there are some things in this world that are a yes or a no, are true or false. Some that aren't just opinion, but are in fact either correct or incorrect. A very common one, perhaps, that maybe somebody has asked you as well. Is faith in Christ's death and resurrection really the only way to get to heaven? I've been asked that a lot of times. Is it really the only way? Is Christianity being outrageously arrogant to try to make a claim that Christ is the only way to the Father, that only through him can you have any assurance or any hope at all of being in heaven with God forever? To claim that the teachings of Jesus are exclusively right, and that anyone who doesn't agree with that simply has to be wrong. That is indeed the basis of Christianity, isn't it? It's a very, very bold, and to many people, it's a very difficult stumbling block to come across. So, what I want to do for our time remaining this evening, I do not want you to throw your brain out the window and to disengage it, because God has given us the intellect to weigh up. Oftentimes, perhaps, maybe as Christianity put across is, well, you just need faith. Well, God indeed also gave us a brain to think and to understand and to investigate and to weigh up. And so I want us to do that this evening as we look at the center of that teaching, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And as we recognize that, of course, there are always implications for the decisions that we end up coming to. And so we're going to read together from the written word of God in John chapter 9. We're going to see a situation where something happened and then the crowd investigated. They thought about it. They weighed it up and each of them made a decision. So in John chapter 9, Jesus healed a man who had been born blind. And the Pharisees and the crowds and the man himself had to decide for themselves their conclusion on who this Jesus is. So we do not have time just to read the entire chapter 9. There we go. But we will pick up our reading in verse 13. And so reading in John 9 and verse 13. Hopefully you can still hear me. Otherwise, we'll keep going and hopefully this passes in a wee moment or two. So John chapter 9, verse 13. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." We're going to skip a few verses and pick up our reading again in verse 24. So John 9, verse 24. So for the second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshipper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Amen. I'm going to finish the reading there at the end of verse 39. A very simple decision was to be made from the passage that we've read and parts that we weren't able to read. Is Jesus Lord or is he a liar? There was divided opinion amongst the people in the passage. Was this man Jesus the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of Man, the title that was given to God's Redeemer, God's King, who would come and deal with the consequences of sin, who would come to save his people, the one who was to come from God and indeed was prophesied would be God himself, even though it was not known at that time, it was not revealed to man at that time. And so sometimes, this is a very political answer, sometimes to answer a question, it's sometimes helpful to ask a question. Okay, hear me out. What evidence was there to suggest that this man Jesus was telling the truth and that he was indeed the Son of God? Loads. Loads of evidence. Jesus didn't just come and speak. Jesus came and acted. And so one of the biggest bits of evidence was even standing right before them, because there was a man who had been blind from birth, who had never seen until the day he met Jesus. What a miracle. There are loads and loads of different miracles recorded that Jesus did. Recorded in those 3 years of his ministry. Jesus proving that he had authority over nature as he calmed the storm. Jesus proving that he had authority over sickness by healing lepers, by healing people who couldn't walk, by people who couldn't talk, by people who couldn't see or hear. It's even recorded that Jesus raised several people from the dead. Jesus powerfully and supernaturally backed up his claim to be God's only way of salvation. He showed total power over nature, over demons, over disease, and over death. Jesus backed up his claims to be Lord. The religious leaders refused to believe that Jesus could be the Christ, God's King. They did not want to accept the evidence. They couldn't accept it, even when the man was standing right before their very eyes. And time again, they tried to find ways to excuse it, to ignore him. In a sense, they turned a blind eye to the facts that were before them. They turned a blind eye to the power and the authority and even the identity of Jesus as the Son of God. Indeed, soon enough, they would be crying, "Crucify him," because he claimed to be God. There was someone at the event, though, who weighed up, who thought about it, and who decided that Jesus had to be who he said he was. The man who could now see said in verse 32 and 33, "Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." And so after the religious leaders talked to him again and then threw him out, basically, the man once again stands before Jesus. And this time he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped Jesus. There is an intentional irony here in this passage that God is using to teach truth to you and I tonight too. Those who thought they could see the way to God were in fact blind and made the decision to reject him who gives sight to the blind. The blind man knew he couldn't see physically, and then he could. And although Jesus healed his eyes, it went further than that, because the man decided on the basis of that miracle that he believed in Jesus as Lord and he worshipped him. He believed that Jesus was Savior. Faith in Jesus saves us from the consequences of our sin. It was true for the blind man who then could see, and it is true for you and I today. And so let me ask the question, what do you say about Jesus? That's a question that the Pharisees posed to the man, and I pose it to you here this evening. What do you say about Jesus? The nature of Jesus' claims about himself leave us only with two choices. It's either exclusively true that Christ is the Lord and Savior, God the Son. He is the only way to heaven. Or he is a liar. There is no middle ground. He is either God's Savior and the only way to be saved, or he is a liar. There is no middle ground. And so he is either God the Son or he's not. He is only the only hope that we can trust in for salvation, or he is a liar. I would urge you, if you've never believed and followed Jesus, to investigate further this man and his claims, to look into what he did, to look into what he taught, because it is crucially important for each and every one of us to come to that place of deciding, what do you say about Jesus? Based on that decision, you are either saved by Christ, or you are a rejecter of God for eternity. If you'd like maybe to talk with me about these things, wave me down if you're exiting the car park, or my phone number is on the church website. Please do get in touch if you would like to speak further about this, because it is indeed a matter of life and death. Jesus came with a message of hope and with the authority to back it up. Our second and final point, what do you say about Jesus? Christians, what do we say about Jesus to the people in our lives? What do we tell others about Jesus? Do we say much? Do we say anything? I'm not asking that question to try to put anybody down. I'm asking that question instead to encourage us to intentionally pause with that thought before the Lord, that we ought to daily pray for God's strength to speak boldly for Christ as we ought to, without fear, but speaking with love, with grace, and with truth. We ought to focus on seeing who God wants us to speak to in that day, that perhaps there might be somebody who you would be to cross paths with, or somebody who you would pick up the phone to, that God would lay them on our hearts, that we might say something about Jesus to them. That's not just something we're to do every 10 years or every 1 year, but every day that we have breath, we should be before the Lord offering ourselves and listening and being receptive to who we are to speak to and how and what we are to say for the Lord. Anybody feeling nervous butterflies in your stomach yet? I'm going to hazard a guess that there probably is quite a few, because they're in mine as well. Life is full of times, though, that we have to do things that make us uncomfortable and costly in order to do good for somebody else. One small illustration, you've already heard me tonight encourage you to wear a face covering for our indoor midweek meeting on Wednesday evening at 7:30. Why? Because it's comfortable to wear a face mask. No, it's not. They're incredibly uncomfortable. We've asked you to do that to help in a small way to lovingly protect somebody else. We're asking you to do something that might be uncomfortable, but you're doing it for somebody else. Not to do it because it encourages fear or anything like that. It's not about you or your opinion of face masks or whatever like that. This is something that we are encouraging you to do out of love, out of a very small practical way to show consideration. And as Scripture calls us, to submit one to another. So life is full of times that we are uncomfortable, but yet we know that it's something that we ought to do, very much so in approaching the Lord and in making ourselves available as believers to say, "Here am I, Lord. What would you have me to say?" No matter how much the nerves would wrench us, witnessing for Jesus in everyday conversation is hard work. It is emotionally draining and it makes us uncomfortable. But let's never forget that this life is not a cushy waiting room for heaven. That is never what Jesus has promised to us. This life, if you're a believer, is to be a labor of love for Him. It is a mission. It is a specific service and task that Christ has saved us for, called us to, equipped us for, and has now given us the breath to do it. Let's not miss the immense calling that we have as the bride of Christ, as the church, that we have as every believer. The church is the people, but the people, each and every one of us, are His witnesses, are His ambassadors. We are to speak of the Lord's saving grace. So what do we say about Jesus? Well, witnessing for Christ is not simply about telling people the story of when we first got saved, but it's telling and showing and sharing with people who Jesus is. the more theology that we understand, let me rephrase that, the more that we know God, the more that we know in order to share with other people, the more that we know His love, the more we can talk about it to those around us, the more that we can share about His justice, about His holiness, about His patience, His sovereignty. We can share about His plan for humanity. We can share His plan of salvation. Some little truth might just be what God will use to open someone's eyes. It might just be that that is the barrier that they have hid behind or that has stopped them from coming to Christ. And what if the Lord has you to say something this week to that person that would lead them before the Savior of the world in repentance and in saving faith? God works in the small things, folks. God works through our weakness. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We're not ever told to trust strangers, really, are we? With children, we build that into them. Don't trust strangers. What happens, though, as a church, if we keep encouraging people to trust in Jesus, but they have no idea who He is? Truly believing the Bible will drive us out of our comfort zones as believers. It will drive us into deep water where our feet cannot touch the surface, where we are as uncomfortable as could be, but we are then exactly into the realm of knowing that we are desperately relying on the Lord, that it is Him and not us. At the point, we also then realize that with real thankfulness and wonder, that it is God the Holy Spirit who will enable and empower and will fill our mouths and will speak through us. Now that's the real Christian life. Can I say, if you've drifted into stagnant, shallow waters as a believer, get back into the deep end. What do you say about Jesus? One of the things that I enjoy most in my service for God is just getting alongside believers and just talking about the situations in their life and seeking if we can figure out together, perhaps, what the Lord might be wanting to do in their life, who or how they might respond to a situation in a manner that would speak Christ, that would share Christ, that would point to Christ. If you would like to speak to me about that, I'm available for that. As I said, my phone number, whatever way you want to get in touch. Because maybe sometimes we think, maybe, well, I've been a Christian for 10 years or 20 years or 30 years. I should never let on that, you know, I don't have it all sussed. We will never stop needing each other. This is why we have fellowship. This is why God has called us into church, so that we can be an encouragement and a help to each other as we seek to be witnesses for Him. As I try to conclude and draw this together, there are a lot of things that can divide us these days. There are a lot of things that can distract us. There are a lot of things that can depress us. And there are a lot that can destroy our fellowship as a church and destroy our gospel witness. As a nation, as a church, as a local community and as families, I believe there is a real increasing danger of division based on different opinions about the world in which we now find ourselves. You see it, you watch the news for 20 minutes and you see it. Well, the government acted too slow. The government acted too fast. We didn't have enough notice. Too much was done. Not enough is being done. We are incredibly split. But I believe that the heart of the message for us in our gathering this evening is, let's be aware of the more important battle that is going on. Let's not be distracted from our purpose that God has called us to as Christians, to be witnesses for Him. to be witnessing to our acquaintances, to our colleagues in work, to our family, to our neighbors, to our friends, to our hairdresser, to the person in the cafe we always go to be witnessing and sharing about the Holy One who saves from eternal blindness. To the followers of Jesus in Abbot's Cross, let's be alert to the dangers. Let's double our guard. Let's double our efforts to serve one another in love and in humility. Let's remember why we're really here. Let's remember what really matters in eternity. This is no cushy waiting room. It's a mission field. We need to see clearly. We need to guard our unity. We need to respond to God's speaking voice, which means we needed to be listening for that to begin with. We need to know the Lord and to make him known boldly, intentionally, lovingly, graciously, and sacrificially speaking without fear. Because I once was blind, but now I see. If you're drifting away in these days from a close walk with the Lord, maybe you already have. You're not the first. Near the end of Jesus' ministry, many people who had been following him decided no more. They decided to reject his teaching. And in John 6 and verse 66, Jesus is recorded as saying here, "After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you want to go away as well?' Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God.'" Get back into deep waters. Jesus alone has the words of eternal life. He alone is the Holy One of God. Come to him. You have the freedom to listen, to weigh up, to decide. Decide to follow him. Decide to never stop following him. Every day that you have breath, it is full of these decisions that will either strengthen your walk or damage your walk. Strengthen your service or damage your service for him. This week ahead, folks, let's decide to follow him through every one of those small decisions. Finishing with what we said at the start, these decisions often impact and have consequences on other people too. What do you say about Jesus? I'm going to ask Philip just if he would close in prayer after he comes and brings our closing song. Can I remind you as well just to watch for the stewards and don't be exiting just until. But please, folks, if you'd like to speak to me this week, this evening, about coming into salvation through Jesus Christ or to talk about the journey of following him as a disciple, please do be in touch. Thank you and God bless.
Andrew has requested that we conclude with a song which faces us with a choice. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. It's number 23 in the songbook. And maybe if you've never trusted the Lord as your Savior, whether you're sitting here in the car park, whether you're at home, whether you're listening to a CD of the service or watching a DVD, if you've never asked the Lord Jesus to be your Savior, why not lift your heart to him right now? As we sing these words, they can become your prayer. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I
I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? No turning back, no turning back.
Let's bow together in prayer. Gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence with us here today. And we thank you, Lord, for all of those who, within the sound of this recording or this broadcast, have no doubt in their minds that they have decided to follow Jesus and there will never be any turning back. Father, if there are those who still have not yet made that all-important decision, we pray that you'll give them the grace to do so, to welcome Christ into their lives as Lord and Savior, and for the rest of their lives to follow him. As we conclude, Lord, we want to pray for your blessing upon the pastor, especially as he's involved in this mission this week at Tobermore. Will you be with him and Esther? And then as he takes a break, we pray that you will refresh him for the days to come. So, Father, we thank you for our coming together today and how we pray, Father, that you'll continue with us through this week as we seek to follow our Savior. We bring our prayer in his worthy and precious name. Amen.